You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. As you watch the political conventions decide which candidates will get your vote, here's something you ought to think about and a question to ask. Who helped pay for all that campaigning? And what happens when that newly elected or reelected member of Congress gets back to Washington? According to the group Issue One, members of Congress spend more than half their time raising money, not governing. In 2010, just 0.26% of the population accounted for over two-thirds of contributions to congressional campaigns. How do we fix America's campaign finance system? Former Congressman Joe Schwartz is with us now. He's a physician, a former member of the state Senate, and these days he's with Issue One's Reformers Caucus. They're battling to reduce the influence of money in politics. Welcome, Congressman.
Thanks very much, Cynthia. Nice to be with you.
The makeup of this Reformers Caucus that you're part of is, to me, remarkable. You have 150 former members of Congress like yourself. You have former governors and both parties who want reform. That's bipartisan cooperation. That's remarkable.
Well, it is remarkable, but when one looks at it under the microscope, maybe not quite as remarkable as one would think, because thinking people, when they go to Congress or when they go to the legislature, it's a little different, but same ballgame. They say, goodness gracious me, what in the world am I got myself into with this absolute pressure, constant pressure, to raise money at times, frequently, when they should be doing something else having to do with policy formulation.
How did it come to this reality that we get members of our Congress spending more time dialing for dollars than actually governing?
There's a lot of pressure on especially junior members of Congress, members who get there for the first and into their second and third terms, to raise money. And they're told by their respective caucuses, in the case the Republicans call themselves a conference, the Democrats call themselves a caucus, told by leadership, you're expected to spend a certain amount of time, and it's really a ridiculously large amount of time, while in Washington, at party headquarters, sometimes actually cold calling people for money. And it's been done that way for years.
Were they doing that when you were on the Hill?
Yes, they were.
And so when you say a ridiculous amount of time, Congressman, what are we talking about a week?
Well, I would say that members are asked to spend hours every day essentially calling people for money, dialing for dollars. Some do. In fact, most do. Others will push back. That would be myself.
And what happens when you push back and say no?
When I pushed back and said no, I lost a lot of institutional support from the Republican Party, especially the Congressional Campaign Committees, because I just wouldn't do it. And there were a few others like myself who said, I'm just not going to do this. And others who tried to do it and said, well, I'm going to try to be a good soldier and do it, and then backed off and said no. But the pressure to raise money is unbelievable. And I frankly wasn't prepared for it. You know you have to raise money if you're going to run for office at that level. But this seemed to me to be way, way over the top.
And I think most Americans don't really know the workings of the influence of money in politics. And as I was going through the issue1.org website, and I saw the fact that there are $3 billion spent lobbying Congress versus the $2 billion spent running Congress.
I hadn't heard that statistic before, but I wouldn't argue with it. I'm sure it's right. If one looks at what goes on in Washington, it's kind of another world. You go and you're a member of Congress and you see the tremendous amount of pressure for you to raise money, A, and B, do you ask yourself, who in the world, I didn't know there are this many lobbyists in the whole world who wanted to talk to you and influence your vote on various and sundry issues. Now, lobbying is very legal, and I must say this, for lobbyists, they work very hard. What they do is give their clients access to the process, and they work very hard at it. But at some point, it's excessive, and that's one of the things that needs to be addressed.
And what is the Reformers Caucus thinking of in terms of fixing this? What do we do absent waiting for the Supreme Court to act or for the Constitution to be amended?
You've got to limit the time that members of Congress, and we're talking right now about members of Congress, but I could talk about the legislature too. You've got to limit the time, and it's got to be by rule or by statute limited, that you ask members of Congress while they're in Washington, and here's the point, and I want to emphasize this. This is while they are in Washington, not while they're back in their districts. Limit the amount of time that they are asked to or required to, if you view an order from leadership as a requirement, limit the time that they're raising money. There's business to do. There are issues to study and go across the street and cast an intelligent vote, hopefully, on, and this isn't happening. And I just think it is unbelievable the amount of time members are asked to raise money in Washington. And the other thing about it is, of course, the citizenry does not know that much about this. They don't know that their congressman or congresswoman is going to Washington and being asked to raise money 2 or 3 hours a day, put in a cubicle with a telephone and say, okay, start calling these people. Here's your list tonight, congressman. Call these people. Ask them to contribute.
And meantime, the citizenry is furious at that perceived overused but accurate term of congressional gridlock, both at a state level and at the national level. Get stuff done.
Congressional gridlock and legislative gridlock, of course, is a reality. What has happened is that the development, shall we say, of where we are now has resulted in members of Congress and members of the legislature having their first loyalty be to the party and not to their country, to their state, not to their constituents, not to the folks at home that they're representing, but to their party. And this wild dash for money is probably the main thing that makes that the case, because the party calls the shots. The party calls the shots as far as your committee memberships in Congress. And it's a given, and believe me, I said, is this true when I was down there? And then I've talked to other former members and existing members. The amount of money that you raise has a direct effect on your committee assignments. If you're a big-time money raiser and you go to leadership and ask for a certain committee assignment, the probability is that you're going to get it. And so you have people who are not necessarily qualified to sit on certain committees, sitting on those committees, and you ask yourself, why? Well, because they raise more money than the person who was qualified. And that goes for committee chairmanships, too. And people who study Congress understand that that's true.
So top-down changes seems extremely unlikely to happen because the poobahs, as you describe, aren't inclined to want to change that, keep raising money. Is there enough oomph from the bottom up to change this, Congressman?
That's a consummation devoutly to be wished, isn't it? That in time, the constituents out in the congressional districts and legislative districts, again, I don't want to leave the legislature out of this.
Right, right.
Will really take notice of what's happening. And enough people like our organization will step forward and say, we got a problem here, folks. And it's not making for good public policy formulation. If that happens, and that will happen over a period of time, certainly not overnight, I think change would be in the air. But right now, it's not. And it was bad before Citizens United, and since Citizens United, of course, it's been insane.
What's at stake here?
What's at stake here is the effectiveness of the U.S. Congress, and again, state legislatures in large states with very active legislatures like Michigan, and the entire way that we govern ourselves and the way it's done is at stake. And the ability of an individual or an organization which has a perfectly good case, or should I say cause, I think maybe cause would be better, to take before the legislature or take before Congress gets put way down the list because they can't come up with enough dollars, even though they have an issue where God's on their side. They don't have enough dollars. So they're way down the list and they may not ever get considered. Where if you got enough money, then you can dump enough money in and get that money where you think you need to get it, you're going to get recognition.
Well, there's plenty for citizens to learn and read by going to the website, issue1.org. That's issue1.org. Former Michigan Congressman and former State Senator Joe Schwartz, always great to have you on Stateside. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much, Cynthia. Good to be with you.